Hey everybody, I want to welcome you to week number 4 of our 4-week streaming Bible study here at First United Methodist Church. Let me introduce to you Reverend Katie Black.
And let me introduce to you Reverend Weldon Morris.
We're the pastors here at First United Methodist Church in downtown Lake Charles. Christmas Eve is coming up.
Very, very, very quickly. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Ooh, quicker than I thought.
Yeah, it's coming in.
If you haven't made your reservation yet, you need to call the church office right away and do so, because we have to know how many people are coming and plan for it. But if you can't join us in person, join us online tomorrow.
So you can watch us online through our Facebook page, which is First United Methodist Church Lake Charles. You can also watch us through our church website at www.fumclc.org, and we're also going to be streaming on YouTube.
Our 4-week study has been a lot of fun for us to do. The first week we talked about the first candle. This isn't one of the candles.
That's not the candle. Yeah, okay.
We lighten the season of Advent. And it was about marking our time and lighting the way.
Yes, sharing light, marking time. And so the second week we looked at the Advent wreath candle and we talked about the 4 words of Advent. We talked about hope, peace, joy, and love.
And last week we talked about some of the hymns of Advent. Mm-hmm. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
And O Come Emmanuel. Yeah.
And so this week we're going to talk about some of the, perhaps all of the characters that we could think of in the Christmas story. And you had an assignment last week for you to make a list of the characters in the Christmas story. So
pass in your homework. Yep. You can pass it to the student in front of you.
And we'll check it. But that's our focus today. Here's a good question to kind of lead us into this, Katie. If you could go back in time and interview one character from the Christmas story, who would you interview?
I think I would interview Elizabeth. So Elizabeth is the wife of Zechariah and the mother of John the Baptist, so also Mary's cousin. And she has a very unique experience of getting to have John the Baptist, be the mother of John the Baptist, but also she plays a central role in mentoring Mary and being her cousin, kind of being a little bit further along in her pregnancy. And so I think I would like to just see some of those conversations. We get one of those conversations in Scripture. We know that when Mary sees Elizabeth, that John the Baptist leaps for joy in her womb. So we see this conversation that they have. But I think Mary said they stayed with her for several months. I just want to see what that was like.
She really would be interesting to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
God, there's so many I would really like to talk to. I would pick out Joseph. Mm-hmm. I'd like to chat with him. He's kind of an unsung hero.
I agree.
In the story. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Joseph in just a little bit. But he's one that I would just like to ask some questions of.
And let's ask you, if you could go back in time and interview one of our Bible characters from the Christmas story, who would it be?
And we'd like to hear from you with that. So let us know on Sunday or send us a text or something like that. We'd like to know.
Not tomorrow. We'll be a little bit busy tomorrow.
Yeah, not tomorrow, but between now and tomorrow or on Sunday. Our scripture for today, and if you have a Bible at home, if you would look it up and follow with us, I'm reading from the New International Version, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. It's talking about the shepherds in the field. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favor dwells."
Amen. And as we do so, we also light our Advent candle. Let's pray. Gracious God, we light the candle of love and we remember the love that it took for Jesus to come down to earth to be a little baby, helpless and yet more powerful than anything we ever knew. the love that came down to save us, cares for us each and every day, and walks beside us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There's so many fascinating characters with the Christmas story. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize this, but the Christmas story is found in only two books of the Bible.
Right.
So, you would think from all we talk about Christmas right. and the emphasis that it dominates the mm-hmm. the New Testament, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
So the main Christmas story that you are most familiar with found in two of the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah. Mark just begins with the story of John the Baptist.
Mark gets right into it.
Right. And Jesus is born and he's out in the mm-hmm. desert ready to be tempted. And mm-hmm. John the Baptist is yep. there and announces his coming. And the Gospel of John begins with the beginning of time. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And then it says the Word became flesh. So some people will say that's the gospel story of how Jesus came to this world. But it doesn't quite say, and Jesus was a baby, and
right.
or it doesn't tell the Bethlehem story. It just yeah. says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
So in thinking about the Christmas story, I encourage you to look at the Gospel of Matthew and to read the first couple of chapters, and the Gospel of Luke, the first, perhaps, three chapters?
Yeah, first two of both, mm-hmm. yeah.
Interesting characters in it. So today, for a little bit, we're going to give little snap pictures of some of these mm-hmm. Bible characters.
Right.
Who's the first one that comes to your mind?
Well, I mean, do we want to start right in there with the main event? And talk about baby Jesus, or we want to hold off?
Let's lead up to it.
Okay.
With the announcement of his birth.
Okay, let's mm-hmm. back up and let's start before the birth of Jesus, let's start with Zechariah and Elizabeth and John.
Okay, that's the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
That you have two people, the mom and dad, mm-hmm. Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
An older couple.
We are told in Luke that Zechariah is a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is going into Jerusalem to do his priestly duties. And he goes into the temple and he is met by an angel. And the angel tells him that his wife in her old age will be able to conceive and they will bear a son.
It's such an awesome story. It makes me chuckle.
Me too.
Every time I read it, because the older guy, Zechariah, says basically, "What? There's no way."
Mm-hmm.
And the angel, and we know his name.
You do. Angel Gabriel. Is Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
He don't play.
Gabriel is somewhat offended and says, basically, in parentheses, "What? You aren't believing me?" And so he strikes Zechariah dumb.
Mm-hmm. So not intelligence dumb. He strikes him to where he cannot speak. And so he is silenced for the entire pregnancy. So at least for 9 months and I believe 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
So he is silenced throughout the entire pregnancy. He goes out. So he's in there doing his job in the temple. And he's making the preparations. And he comes out. And everybody can tell something has happened.
He just can't say it.
And he's miming like a fool.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't quite get words out. So he is just trying to mime what's going on. But they realize something went down. But they don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow I think Gabriel overstepped his his bounds there. I just think he went a bit too far.
Well, you know that question of who would you like to interview? I don't know that I want to interview Gabriel.
Nope,
I'll let him get on with it.
He doesn't play.
Go for it, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so you have the father mm-hmm. of John the Baptist. Now, why is that important? Because John the Baptist was the forerunner of mm-hmm. Jesus, who
yes.
said, "Prepare the way of the Lord," and mm-hmm. he's the one who prepared the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the father of John the Baptist figures very prominently in the Christmas story.
Absolutely.
And the other one?
Elizabeth. So Elizabeth is Zechariah's wife, and she is too old, and they never were able to conceive a child. And so she was assumed in that day the word was barren. And so that was where they were until this announcement comes on. And then Elizabeth conceives a son, and she is able to have children at a very old age.
Yeah, and her son was no ordinary little boy.
That's
this was
true.
John the Baptizer.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, when she found out that she was going to give birth,
right.
went to be with Elizabeth, who was a cousin of hers.
Mm-hmm. And so they met together, and as I mentioned earlier, there was this joyous moment between them in which Elizabeth sees Mary and John leaps for joy in her womb.
Yeah.
And they have this connection of which, even in the womb, John recognizes Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth, because of that, is mm-hmm. able to recognize mm-hmm. Jesus. And she's one of the first one who says, "You are highly
mm-hmm.
favored,"
mm-hmm.
along with Gabriel, who mm-hmm. also tells Mary that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that recognition happens very quickly.
Okay, so we have so far Gabriel, a little, mm-hmm. little testy, but he's the messenger. He's mm-hmm. the angel of God. We have John and Elizabeth, the mm-hmm. parents of John the Baptizer.
Right. And we've got John. So John become when John is born, they take him into the temple at 8 days, and they go to circumcise John. And usually that would be when they would give a name. And so everybody around said, Elizabeth said, "His name will be John." And everybody was a little bit offended because he was the son of Zechariah. Maybe
yeah,
he should have
yeah.
Zechariah's name.
Yeah.
And so, but Zechariah kind of said, "No, no." And he motioned to somebody and he wrote down, "His name is John."
Mm-hmm.
And that's when his tongue was opened and he was able to speak mm-hmm. again. And he praises God.
Mm-hmm. And he became the one who paved the way for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
his cousin. Let's think of just a whole bunch of characters there. How about the story of the innkeeper?
Ooh, yeah. So the innkeeper is the one in which when they are arriving to Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph, and Mary realizes that it is time to have this baby and they are trying to get somewhere to go. No room.
They go to the inn and they are turned away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, naturally, for all of our lives, when we think of the innkeeper, we think of someone being gruff. You know, "I have no room. Mm-hmm. Away with you."
Right. The soup Nazi from sign. No
yeah.
soup for you. Go.
The Bethlehem soup Nazi.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing in Scripture that really tell us that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We suppose that,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and we don't know necessarily that there was an innkeeper who was standing at the door. It just said there was no room for them.
That is true. The innkeeper is never called the innkeeper. Just,
right.
There is no room within. So we suppose there was a keeper.
Somebody had to tell them that.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah. And, you know, if we think about it, we can almost be sympathetic mm-hmm. towards him.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't know that this was going to be mm-hmm. the Son of God. But he did know he was turning away a pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps everyone was in their room and he had no place for him.
Well, and you don't want to create more danger. I mean, you can't just overcrowd rooms and then something happens and people can't get in and move. I mean, she was in labor. This is dangerous if you have too many people in that room.
But he did something for him.
He did.
He took him to where the animals were cared
mm-hmm.
for in a cave
mm-hmm.
and said, "It's warm in here. You can stay in here.
And it's safe. It's dry.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a safe spot for you to stay."
So for the innkeeper, I give him a pass.
I give him flexibility, which
yeah.
this year, flexibility has been the word.
Yeah.
And was it ideal? No. Is this Christmas going to be ideal? Probably not.
Yeah.
But Jesus still comes.
Right. He did the best that he could,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't the best.
Right.
But he didn't know. So mm-hmm. I give
yeah.
him a pass.
That's true.
Give him
That's
a
true.
Pass.
Okay,
let's think about somebody that is pretty tough to give a pass on. King Herod.
King Herod? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a good guy. So King Herod, he's mentioned in Luke, but his main story is in Matthew. He's a bad dude.
He is. All those Herods are bad.
Mm-hmm. Herod Antipas.
Yeah, his son, his nephew,
mm-hmm.
They were all bad.
Yeah. So he hears of the birth of the baby Jesus and hears that this is the King of Kings being born, and that does not sit well with him.
He will have no rival to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah. And so he perceives Jesus to be a threat. And so he issues an order in which he wants all boys under the age of 2. So basically all toddlers
yeah.
in the kingdom to be.
And right before then, he tells the wise men that we're going to talk about.
Oh, that's true.
"Tell me where he was born so I can go worship him."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, yeah. He's a little.
Sure. Sure.
He's a manipulator.
Yeah. "Tell me where he's born so mm-hmm. I can go worship him." Well,
yeah.
the wise men were wise, and mm-hmm. God spoke to him in a dream and said, "Don't do this."
Mm-hmm.
But then King Herod issued this order, kill all the children, all the baby boys, 2 years old and under.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have just a clear swath of babies that he'd kill to make sure he got the little king.
Is this where the phrase overkill comes from? Because it
boy,
should be.
He was,
I mean, why can't you just go and look for somebody?
Yeah.
Spend a little bit of resource on that.
Yeah.
But
it's a tragic story in the Bible where all these baby boys were slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And Mary and Joseph, as we know, escaped to Egypt. Okay, so King Herod, what do you give him?
Oh, he is not passing this class. Fail.
He was horrible. Mm-hmm. And all of his life he was horrible. Mm-hmm. As we said.
I don't know that. I like to always try and find one redeeming something. I'm not finding one yet.
Yeah, the only good thing I can say about King Herod the Great is that he built some amazing things.
Okay, good builder.
Masada.
Yeah, yeah.
His burial place right outside of Bethlehem.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know that I saw that one. Yeah.
He's a temple.
Bad dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a great builder. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Great builder, bad dude.
Yeah, we're not a fan of King Herod. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody else.
We just talked about King Herod. Let's talk about the wise men.
Okay, the wise men. Here's a question for you. How many wise men were there? We don't know.
We don't know.
We sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Mm-hmm. And on the Christmas cards, there are always three wise men. Mm-hmm. Why do people think, why has history thought there were three?
The reason that we've assumed three is because they bring three gifts. So we assume that only they could each only carry one gift.
Yeah.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So that's where that number three comes from. Yeah. And I believe that Eastern religions, a lot of times, in Eastern Christianity, you would see 14 wise men. And that was the first time I'd ever seen that.
And it could have been. It could have been five wise men, magi, mm-hmm. From the East. Five guys who brought three gifts. Could have been 10 who brought three mm-hmm. gifts. Could have been three who brought three gifts.
Right.
Very significant what they brought, of course.
Absolutely.
Gold.
Frankincense. And myrrh.
And myrrh.
So gold we tend to know a little bit about. It's something that is very valuable then and now. It is riches. It symbolizes royalty. Frankincense, not a lot of people know a whole lot about frankincense. If you do essential oils, that might have been an oil that you've come across at some point. It's a perfume.
Mm-hmm. And it was used in worship.
It was used in worship, and it also kind of hinted at this royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Only someone who was very wealthy would have mm-hmm. that perfume.
Mm-hmm.
The third gift is a little bit more mysterious.
Mm-hmm. It's very valuable.
Very valuable.
Myrrh was extremely valuable, mm-hmm. and a lot of people theorize that perhaps Mary and Joseph sold the myrrh in order to pay for their expenses to escape to Egypt.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Myrrh was used for burial purposes.
Myrrh was used for burial purposes, and it was an anointing. It was something that you could use to anoint someone. So we could also say maybe there's a symbolism of knowing that Jesus was the anointed one, the Messiah.
And that he was going to die.
And that he was also going to die. Mm-hmm. So the gifts they bring to a newborn baby is a burial oil.
Mm-hmm.
To prepare him
mm-hmm.
for death.
Mm-hmm. Odd gifts.
Odd gifts.
But
it's a bookend. Yeah, right at the very beginning, they're saying, we recognize that this is a king who will die.
Yeah. A king who will be worshipped,
mm-hmm.
who will die.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, Katie, time's going to get us, some all kind of characters to do. Let's do the shepherds real quick.
So the shepherds we find in the Gospel of Luke. And we read about it in our scripture that opened up today. So the shepherds are in their field, watching over their flocks by night.
How many shepherds were there?
It does not say. I hope it doesn't say, because I don't know if it does.
No, it does not say. Yeah. All we know about the shepherds, they were out there taking care of their sheep, and it was at night. And shepherds were like the lowest part of human society. That they weren't bad people. They just were not thought of very highly. They were poor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're out there. They take care of sheep 24/7, so they don't shower every day.
They were poor. They didn't smell good.
Mm-hmm.
They were uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
They were considered unclean, and so they were not even allowed in the temple or a synagogue.
That's
if
true.
You were a shepherd, you could not go to mm-hmm. publicly worship God.
Mm-hmm. So they kept over the sheep. But in many ways, they just weren't on the same level as a lot of people in society. And they spent the night outside. They were kind of under the open stars.
Yeah, yeah. It's so amazing that of all the people in the world,
shepherds. shepherds.
The angels came to the shepherds mm-hmm. to tell the greatest news.
That's the truth.
Not to the king, not to the mayor, not to the governor, not to the rich people. Mm-hmm. Came to the very poorest and the least of all to mm-hmm. say, this is the greatest news the world has ever heard.
Glad tidings of great yeah. joy. Good news to all.
And their response? You remember their response?
What was their response?
They took off. They went to the manger as fast as they could.
Running.
They worshiped the newborn king. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, well, okay, first thing in the morning, we're going to go see.
Yeah.
Or, well, let's think about it a little bit. Or, mm-hmm. Nah, we imagine this. It's too good to be.
They left believed their flocks behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we have the wise men. Mm-hmm. We have the shepherds. And then we have?
Of course, the angels. So we've talked a little bit about the angel Gabriel. And so we also have Gabriel visiting Mary. And then Joseph in a dream. The wise men are visited in the dream. And then they also show up in the shepherd's field singing glory to God. So mm-hmm. they're all over this
They're
story.
All over the place. Yeah. When Mary and Joseph are in Egypt and after King Herod died, an angel appeared, I think it was to Joseph, and mm-hmm. said, it's safe, you mm-hmm. can go back now.
That's
so
true.
They're all over the place in the Christmas yeah. story. What does an angel look like?
We don't know exactly. We have some hints in Scripture.
Yeah, but you're right. We don't know, except they scare the daylights
yeah.
out of whoever they appear
yeah.
to.
Yeah, if every time you walked in the room, the first thing you had to say was, don't be afraid.
Yes.
I mean, is this the Rock Johnson, Dwayne the Rock Johnson coming in everywhere?
With bright lights and whatever it is.
He's scary.
The angel scares the person that
yeah. Is this the angel of death?
To.
What is, I mean, it's a
yeah.
startling thing.
Because reading Scripture over and over and over again, every time they appear to someone, the first words are, don't be afraid. Because apparently the one they appear to is like that.
That's why I say I'm not interviewing the angels.
Yeah.
I'll let somebody else interview the angels.
So the angels appear to the shepherds in the sky, mm-hmm. outside of Bethlehem. That had to be the most amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. And they're all sitting there and they're singing glory to God.
Yeah.
And just filling, in my mind, they're just filling up that bright sky.
Wouldn't that have been just incredible mm-hmm. if we could go back there and be in that field on that night
yeah.
and just be there for a moment to mm-hmm. see the angels and see how they appeared and what it was like, because I don't think we can even begin to imagine it.
And then run to the manger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing.
So okay. That leads us to our people who are at the manger, the main characters of the Christmas story.
You have Mary,
mm-hmm.
and you have Joseph.
Of course.
Let's talk about Mary. I preached on her a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago. We don't know how old she was, but she more than likely was really young.
Yeah, most believe she was probably a teenager.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps even a young teenager,
right.
13 or 14
right.
or 15,
mm-hmm.
Because women gave birth at that age
yeah.
So many years ago like that. She was a person of humility.
Mm-hmm. She was a person who also knew how to submit to God and just was the Lord's servant. That was her phrase in Luke. I am the Lord's servant.
And all of her life she was that way.
Mm-hmm.
She never claimed any special privileges, never claimed any titles.
Mm-hmm.
She was there at the crucifixion. She was at the upper room when the Holy Spirit came.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is perhaps the most amazing person aside from Jesus who ever lived.
Mm-hmm. She really is just an inspiring character. She's an inspiring woman
mm-hmm.
Just to look to and say, this is what it looks like when you know, we use these words humility and submission as though it's a lowly thing, but she does this in a way in which it glorifies God, and in
yeah.
that she is powerful.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's not lowly.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, it's me to say, I don't understand this, I don't get this, I don't know what you're asking me to do,
mm-hmm.
but whatever it is, I submit. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Submission.
And trusting that God's plan is going to make the way out.
And she had a hard life. I mean, she saw her son die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of these things of just absolute faith and knowing that she was not in control, but she trusted that she knew the one who was.
Exactly. She's at the foot of the cross
mm-hmm.
and saw him not just die, suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Watched all of those hours as her son suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Just, she's an amazing person.
Absolutely.
Joseph.
Joseph is the earthly father of Jesus.
You know, the last time that we hear about Joseph in Scripture?
Is that when he's in the Jesus is in the temple and he gets lost?
When Jesus was 12 years old and he gets lost, and that's the last time that Joseph is mentioned. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he died right after them, but he's not mentioned again.
It seems that before Jesus starts his ministry, probably around age 30, that Joseph has died before, in between 12 and 30 for Jesus, somewhere in there.
Joseph provided this real stable foundation for the family. He provided an income, a place for them to live. After God whispered to him in a dream, he was on board with everything.
I think he was also a humble man. So when Mary finds out that she's pregnant and the news kind of gets to Joseph, he has a couple of options, right? The harshest of which would be a very, very Mosaic law. You committed adultery and
she'll be stoned to death.
Should be stoned to death. Joseph doesn't take that approach. He kind of has this idea of, let's break off this engagement quietly. Let's just shake hands and walk away before we do something we're gonna not like. And so that kind of is what Joseph's plan is until he has a dream. And then in that dream, the angel kind of confirms to him, this is the Lord's child that is going to be in your wife, and we want, and you should take Mary.
And then everything was different.
And he trusted it.
Yeah. And that basically changed all of history.
And one thing I always want to point out right here is, so Joseph is Jesus' earthly father. Never once do we have any indication that Joseph holds this against Jesus, that he takes him and loves him as if he were his own.
Yep.
He is in the royal line of David, and he says, Jesus, you are in the royal line of David because you are my son. And he takes him and loves him with every fiber of his being.
And Jesus was known as the son of the carpenter.
Yeah, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this? So it is very clear that Joseph chose to be Jesus' father, and he had a chance to just quietly walk away from everything, but he chose to stay.
He plays a major role in the Christmas story.
Absolutely.
Had he not been there, things would have been different.
Yeah.
And then we come to the last one, who is the most important of all, and that's the little baby.
Little baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Who was born in a nowhere town, little town of Bethlehem, not always on the map at that time. It was the city of David. Very tiny.
In a stable.
In a stable. No real room. And yet is God.
Yeah.
Helpless little baby.
I was going to say that. He's just a helpless little baby. Can't do anything for himself.
Yeah.
And this is the creator of the universe who has become a person.
It's a powerful thing. And it's just, so to me, this love candle is what that fourth week is about. It's just love. Because it's not Jesus coming in and being like, all right, I'm in charge, and everybody's going to bend their knee to me, and I am here, and we're going to take over. It's humility. I mean, I don't know if you remember being a baby, but I wasn't doing a lot for myself.
You can't do anything for yourself. And what a message that says, that the God of creation became this helpless baby in a manger.
And chose to be exactly like us. That to me is just so powerful.
Have we covered them all?
Let's see.
Probably not.
Yeah. But we're out of time.
We are out of time. And if we have failed to cover your favorite Bible character or someone that you're thinking of,
in this Christmas story,
write Katie a letter and tell her.
Strongly worded.
A strongly worded letter. You let her have it. It's so meaningful to me, and I know it is to you too, Katie, to read the scripture story about these people and this event, and to realize these were real people with real feelings and struggles and
it's
joys and highs and lows.
And when I always say the word Bible character, and I think that's almost a little bit wrong to say it like they're some character in a play. These were people that stubbed their toes and walked and, you know, struggled to swim sometimes when they were out of breath. And people who lived and died. And they're so inspiring, not King Herod. They're so beautiful to look at and to study.
Not King Herod.
don't want to make any bones about it. But these are people that we look at, and it's important to look at them with fresh eyes and to imagine them in somewhat different ways every once in a while.
Yeah. We started out with saying, if you could interview one of these, which one would you interview? Mm-hmm. I really think, in some way that we can't understand, that on the other side of the grave in eternity, mm-hmm. we're going to see all these people. Mm-hmm. Not King Herod. I don't think he's going to make it. But maybe. You never
maybe.
Know.
Well, yeah. I'm not God.
We'll see these people mm-hmm. and say, Elizabeth, wow.
Let me sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's do a fireside chat.
Joseph. Mm-hmm. And you were one of the shepherds. Oh.
Well, and I want to know just the nothing stories. Yeah. Tell me that bad day you had.
Yeah. Innkeeper. Oh, yeah. Tell us. Katie and I were defending you one day in Bible study.
Were we right? Were we? Yeah.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah. I love thinking about these guys mm-hmm. and women, of course. Mm-hmm.
And it really is, and it's just another moment in which we know that the Bible is filled with people who are good and holy and strong and weak and flawed, and they're round, full humans just like us.
Yes.
And who are trying their best, and we try every day our best, and some days I don't know that I try my best, but in theory, trying our best, and there are days that we fail.
Yeah.
And yet we can look to Scripture and see somebody who failed like us, or someone who succeeded
like us. Yeah. And that leads me to say this, and we are so out of time, but I got to say this, and then you'll read the Scripture, then I'll pray. Put yourself in the Christmas story. That'd be a good sermon
that
we could preach sometime. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in the Christmas story. Where do you see yourself? Are you like one of the shepherds who are just hearing? Are you one of the wise men who've come to worship the Lord? Are you someone who's a little skeptical about all this? Where are you in the Christmas story? Where do you see yourself?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, read that for us, Reverend Katie, and then we'll close.
This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to on whom his favor rests."
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time, this day that we've spent thinking about the different characters in the Christmas story. Lord, help us this day as we approach Christmas to be among those who come to the manger and to kneel down and to say thank you for the birth of this baby, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
See you tomorrow.